wonderful, wonderful, Jesus, Jesus, wonderful. I said, yes, I heard what you said. Jesus, Jesus, wonderful. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Heavenly Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Glorify thee, O Lord. Glorify thy name today, Father. As thou, Lord, are in the midst of thy people, where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you are already there because of your promised word, and because, Lord, of your word that your people are gathered in. We are sure, O Father, that you are here, thy Spirit is here with us. And now, Lord, as you approach thy word, I ask that, Lord, you open up our understanding, Father, and to the wisdom of the Lord, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that, Father, all that which that thou revealed to us will be a blessing to us, Father, as food, O Lord, in this pilgrimage, O Father. The Lord, we are all walking and moving forward, Lord, on the upward path, O Lord, to that holy city, New Jerusalem, that is going to be completely formed and prepared perfect to the coming of Jesus Christ, O Lord. So, Father, bless now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless all of you. You may be seated. Let's go to the chapter of Galatians, chapter 3. Now we are going to look into the purpose of the law. Remember, we are still on the subject of zealous devotion, where these false brethren that came from Jerusalem to Galatia, and there having this meeting with this Galatian Christian, and so much that they will brainwash, the Galatian Christian will brainwash by this Judaized convert to the gospel, and who was still holding to the law of Moses very, very strongly. But not just the law of Moses, it's by their interpretation, and which was usually mostly handed down by tradition of the elders and passed down, and so the traditions of the elders became something important to this false brethren, as Paul would call them. And they came and they were there to brainwash this or not. Well, I wouldn't say that in the sense they were brainwashed, but they were propagating another gospel, so to say. Something which these false brethren were taught because of the importance of the Lord Moses, by the tradition of the elders, that they hold so tight, or they were devout to it. They were so devoted to it, that they think that this Christian in Galatia, these Gentiles should likewise be following them and keeping these commandments of Moses. So Paul was very, very upset. That's why in one sense he wrote this to the Galatian, called him, "Oh, you foolish Galatian." So now we are looking at verse 19 onwards. Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, I want you to look at the verse, some of the words there very closely. For me, you know, my Bible is pretty messed up with all the highlighting and scribbling here and there, putting lines in there all over the pages. But you can do the same with your Bible, okay? Don't keep your Bible clean. The Bible is supposed to be a book for you as a manual, okay? Look at the word law. Wherefore then serve the law? Law. The question was asked of Paul then, because, you know, this Galatian Christian, some of them, not everyone I believe, but there were many, were influenced by it. And Paul called them foolish Galatians, and they were holding on to the law. Paul was trying to tell the difference between the law and the covenant that God made with Abraham. And let me say this, and you understand this. Before there was law, right? You know, sometimes if we were to ask a denominational Christian, how many Testaments are there in the Bible? They would say two. They would think about the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know? And he says, what's the most important of these two Testaments? Which one comes first? Of the Testament of the Bible, which one comes first? Or the covenant. Testament means the covenant. You know? And it will say the law comes first. And then the grace comes after. But you know, that is actually wrong. Because a lot of people do not realize that the Old Testament, but because what was written there, presented to us, you know, and then the gospel came to give us the understanding of the salvation. But before there was law, there was grace. Amen? Amen. You all know that. There was grace. You see? But what was in grace? When God gave grace, what was it supposed to be? Huh? What did Paul say in his epistle? By grace are you saved through faith. So, if grace contains something, God gives something to us. When he called Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? And he landed high and dry on Mount Ararat. So you see, when God called Noah, it was grace to Noah, but what was given to him? What was given to Noah? He told Noah something, and Noah had that faith to understand. It was faith. It was the revelation. It was in faith is salvation. I want you to know that in faith is safety. In faith is the promise of God. So, by grace are we saved to faith. So, grace came first to Abraham. And what did God give Abraham? The promise. But what's in the promise? It was a seed. But what was in the seed? It was salvation. It was safety. It was life. So you see what comes first, the grace, and then the law came. So the question now that Paul is trying to tell the Galatians, you know, so what then served the law? Huh? Remember, we go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's go back there. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seed as of many, but to it, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot do away, cannot disannul, cannot make it of something useless, that he should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance be by the law, be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by the promise. So then, hear what Paul is talking about. The promise was first, then the law came 430 years after. But question right now is this. So Paul wants to make this Galatian, the Christian there, to understand. What's of the law then? What is the purpose of the law then? What did the law, what was the law given? 430 years after God made the promise. If the promise was good, then why did the law come in? And then Paul gave the answer. And the answer, I want you to see it here. It was added because of transgression. The law was added because of transgression. So now picture in your mind here. Grace. God looked down from heaven, chose Abraham. That's grace, right? Give him a promise. Show him and tell him what he was to be. That he was to be a father, manager, he would have a seed, and so on and so forth. All these promises, Abraham believed in it. That's faith. Revelation was given to him. That's faith. And it was real to him. Because in that is the promise of life. But then 430 years down the road, Abraham's descendant, they received the law. Why was the law given? It was given because of their transgression. What is transgression? Transgression is something that went contrary to what God said, what God has spoken. Do you see that thing? Now I want you to see the pattern here. I want you to see something of what is going on. You know, how we say history repeats itself. It always happened like that. It was added because of transgression. So the law was added because of transgression, because of the sin of people who cannot believe in it. They went contrary to it. They worship even idols, you know that. They come up with their own opinion, their tradition. Think about this. It's happening today in the end time message. Just as it happened out there in the church world. So it was added, as Paul said now in verse 19, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And this, of course, ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now let me ask you this question before we go any more further. Ask this question. Today we have the New Testament. Right? So, from Genesis to Malachi, that's the Old Testament. Malachi was the last prophet. Was the last prophet. And there was silent for 300 years or so until John the Baptist came. Right? Then the gospel came. The gospel came. John the Baptist announced the kingdom of God is coming. Then Christ came and he pronounced that the kingdom of God is at hand right now. And then after that, he gave his life for the sinner. Down the cross, buried, and resurrected on the third day, ascended to heaven, and then the church started. But what happened? What happened? Well, today what we have? We have not the book of Acts, not the four gospels, which is the gospel. Yeah, it's just a gospel. Then the Acts is the activity of the church. But after that, we got all this epistle. Why was the epistle added to it? It's the same thing. Why were these epistles added to the gospel? It's because of the transgression of the church. Remember, let's go. Let's go to the book of Romans 13. In the days of Paul, do you understand that Paul was expecting Christ's return? Is that not so? We just read. Paul was preaching the gospel. He expected Christ to come in his day. Alright. Romans 13, 11 to 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is night time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is fast spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in shambling and wantonness, and not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Get ready, get ready. Alright, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 25 to 31. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. Yeah, remember this is his judgment. Okay. Has one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful, I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for the man to be so to be. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from the wife? Seek not a wife. Well, you said if you are married, okay, then if you have a problem, you know, with them, don't separate. If you are single, don't look for a wife. Right. Maybe today we can say the same. Right. Huh? If you're single, don't look for a wife or don't look for a husband. And look at what Paul is saying now. And if you married, thou have not sinned. And if a virgin married, she have not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. Of course, married have a lot of problems. Okay. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remained that both there that have wives as though they have none, and those that weep as though they wept not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passed away. Now, you see, the thing is that some people, Paul is trying to say this, that the time is so short. So, if you are single, don't get married. It's alright if you are married, you have not sinned. And if you have a lot of money, don't go and count your money like Dr. Scrooge or whatever, Mr. Scrooge. Huh? That means to say that Paul to Paul, the urgency of the hour that the death is near. It's so near. Now, so Paul was expecting. And of course, did Paul know that he was writing scripture? I believe he did not know that he was writing scripture. Think about it. He was writing this, but already from the beginning, even from the days of Paul, when Paul was converted, there were already the Nicolaitan spirit that came in. Now, when you have that kind of spirit, there's something that God hates. Remember that snickering, God said, I hate that thing. You see? And as time goes by, when a priest, there's all this division. It become a doctrine, become an act. That's why you had a clergy and a laity, like, you know. And yet we see Paul's love wasn't like that. But there are those that seek to control already in his days. Even the day when Paul, Peter, and James, they wrote about it, there are already antichrist among you. There are false Christ among you. You see. And then, do you think that the person who's false Christ, does he know? I mean, in that day, did they know that they were false Christ? They don't. Let me ask you the question. Does the Pope know that he's the Antichrist? No. Huh? And for those who preach of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, many will come to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, I've done many wonderful work in your name. I preach the gospel in your name. I heal the sick in your name. I raise the dead in your name. Right? Many wonderful works. Jesus said to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And you know, many people, many such preachers, when they preach, they do not realize that they are fulfilling Matthew chapter 7. And many of them are so, well, sin of conscience, that they don't even believe that they are workers. They are workers of iniquity. You take for a moment, some people say, well, he ought to know. Yeah, how we can say that? Look at Abraham. Remember how he told his wife to lie? What was it? It was for fear. was for fear. But at the same time, his reason was to protect her, his wife, and protect himself. Yes, you know, mankind like that. Abraham did not do it once, he did it twice. Do you see what I'm saying? And you see, the whole thing is that this world is Satan. That's what Paul said in the last part of 1 Corinthians 7:31. For the fashion of this world passed away. And that is true. What is the fashion of this world? The thing that is in this world, what does it do? How are we influenced today? You know, we are all influenced by technology. Huh? And people are taken up with technology. First, let's go to Peter. What Peter said. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. Wow. What do you mean by the end of all things is at hand? You see, the apostles, they didn't know, I mean when they wrote this epistle, they did not know they were writing an epistle. But what were the epistle, what did God allow this epistle to be written? It continued until the last apostle died with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because of the transgression of the church. The law was given because of the transgression of Israel. Until the seed that was promised would come. Huh? So why was the church given the epistle? Until that which was promised, the restoration for the church to be perfect, when the message would come and put her back into the word, and then they should stay in the word, would come. That's a pattern. Do you see what I'm saying? You see. That's why even the messenger came and called us out of tradition, called us out of Malahalit, and point us back to the word. And yet, those that came, they are just like false brethren. Right? Among the children of Israel, why was the law given? You think that all of Israel commit all that sin? Some of them would not. They are in the minority. But majority will follow. So when the Bible says all Israel, don't mean to say that every single one, huh? Remember in the New Testament, you can read it in the Gospel anywhere. When Jesus was preaching in Jerusalem, the Bible says all Israel came to hear. It means everyone, every single one. Yeah, that's what my friend believes. So I said, oh, okay, you believe so. Huh? I can say this when the Pope comes. I hope he doesn't come to Singapore anyway. If he comes to Singapore, I can say all Catholics when you see him. Do you think all Catholics will go? Really? All the old one and the young one, all will flock to really go and see him? Some people do not understand the expression. Huh? It's not talking of expression, the words. One for all, the all for one. So in Israel, what happened in history? Majority of them, yes. Remember, Moses was up there in the mountain, now signing, with the law for 40 days, 40 nights. Who was the people that were down at the foot of the mountain who was stirring up trouble? Who were they? They were the elders of the tribes. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He said, we don't know what happened to him. He's not dead. Aaron, make us gods. Wow. The devil has gone into someone, somebody. And it's the same in the churches today, down from the time when the church age started. The Reformation started, the same one after another. same until today. Until the Pentecostal church, until the charismatic church happens today. It's the same. There's always a false prayer, false prophet. False Christ even. And now we have this message. What happened? They are among them false brethren. I mean, some of you brothers out there, in this fellowship, you know you have been in and out of this fellowship. Because what certain one told you about my ministry, told you about what we preach here, is not of God. Huh? And they are saying, though, Brother Gunn won't say what Brother Branham said. He don't even hardly quote Brother Branham. So do I have to quote Brother Branham? Let me quote one for you, if that satisfies you. Brother Branham said, "Good morning, church," every Sunday. Is that enough? You see the foolishness of all these things. But they are always false brethren. But here we have this epistle. The epistle was given because of transgression. Until about the time when Christ comes, that there will be a restoration. That the church must come back to perfection. That's right. Because there is a message right there in the book of Revelation. But how many people see it? When the book of Revelation says, "Come out of all my people." Even the epistle called for that. And yet people were blind to it. So now, let's just go back to verse 19. I just want to say something there in verse 19. "Wherefore then serve the Lord?" It was added because of transgression, "till the seed should come to whom the promises was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." It was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Who is this mediator? And how is it an angel comes into play? For us to understand a little bit, let us go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." So here now is the word spoken by angel. How did angel play a part? Because angels were, what we call a servant of God. And God sent the angel with certain direction or certain message and given to the people. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 53, so that you can understand this. Many times we read the Bible, many times we study the Bible, yeah, but we don't look into it deeper, so let me just point out all this to you. Acts chapter 7, verse 53. "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." See? By the disposition of angels. So it's the angel that delivered it. Psalm 68, verse 17. Angel plays a part. That's a lot of people. Yeah, like my friend, you know, my good friend, I always call him, you know, and he doesn't agree with me about angels. Okay. Psalm 68, verse 17. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place." So when Moses was up there in Mount Sinai, the angel was there. You know, the angel plays a very important part. You know, whenever God does something, the angel was always there, and they watch what God was doing. God sometimes speak to them. Let us, as it is in the book of Genesis, you know, "Let us create man in our own image, and after our likeness." Yeah, I know who God is. Some people say that God is, but I would say God speaks, the Father speaks to the Son. You know, but not speak to some, but speak to the Word. Is it because the Word was already there, which is true. But in simplicity, the angel was already there and God was just announcing it to the whole general assemblies. "Let us create man in our own image." So the angels were there. I hope you understand that. Alright, so how important it is. It plays a part. Okay, let us continue now. In verse 19, the last part, ordained by it was ordained by the angel in the hand of a mediator. Who is this mediator? Now, to answer it, alright, who is this mediator? Because in the next verse, verse 20, and it become a confusion to many people. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Very generally, we always take this verse by itself and say that this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know what we know, a mediator is a mediator between two parties, but God is one. And that's true in that sense. But let's look into it carefully. Verse 19 says that he was ordained by angel in the hand of a mediator, and that mediator was Moses. God gave the law with angels all there in Mount Sinai. God gave the law to Moses. He was a mediator between the children of Israel and God. Remember what happened in Mount Sinai after he came down and Moses saw what they did at the foot of the mountain? Right? The idols and all that, he made Moses so upset that he broke the tablet of the law. He said, and it was just like as God told Moses, why don't you step 1 second, let me deal with these people, wipe them out, and raise up from you a new nation. You know, Moses was such a person, he mediated between God and the children of Israel. He says, Lord, remember your promise to Abraham. Every nation heard about it, that these are your people, you wipe them out, then you didn't keep your promise, so to speak, you know. Yet I just wonder how Moses would talk to God. I don't think that he says, no, please, don't do that. Some people think that, you know, who we were like pleading, a little children pleading, begging. No, Lord, don't do it. You know, a man like Moses, speaking to God face to face. And he just talked to God like a friend, because he was every prophet of God, every man of God, every one of us, we can talk to God as friends. Amen. We don't fear God as, oh, he's some big, big spirit or whatever we feel about it, that he's going to come down on us. No. Yeah, when I was young, you know, you see all these, you go to a temple and you see all these big, big idols. You know, huge one, huh? But there's one not far from here. And it's near where we have the driving center, right? There's a temple there. It's a female goddess. I mean, a female, yeah, it's a female god, but it's a goddess. And when the COVID came, of course, she also wore a mask. I don't know whether you've noticed that. But when I went to temple in those days, wow, some of them was huge and black face and all the painting. It's so they're big. 12 feet high. And you see, the thing is that we are believing not in this God that is not God. We are believing in a God who is God. And if he created us, there must be a relationship between him and us. As father and son, as father and daughters, right? So how can we fear our father? Like as if we are fearing a big monster. So when Moses talked to the Lord, definitely he told the Lord plainly what he feels. And just remind God as if God needs to be reminded. Ha! Right? It's even when God says, Moses, you stand aside. Let me wipe this nation up and I raise up from you. You see, do you think that God doesn't know what he was doing? When God spoke those words to Moses, God is showing to Moses, I'm not happy with the children of Israel. And yet God knows Moses was his servant, and he knows how Moses will respond, and just and how Adam will respond when Eve committed the sin. Just like what Jesus, how Jesus would respond. Right? You see? So, in saying that, Moses was the mediator. But now, next verse says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. That is to say that God is the initiator. God initiated this whole thing. He gave the law. He could have given the law to Israel direct. But God always have a mediator. You know how many mediators that God sent to the children of Israel? Remember prophet after prophets? Right? And the children of Israel would kill them, stone them and kill them. They were the mediator. God sent them a message to them. God initiated. Do you understand that? Though he was a mediator between, but God was initiator. He is the one. And mediator implies more than one. Not that he needs someone to stand in between him and the people. That's why he sent his only begotten son. And who died on the cross? The Son of God. But God, in a way, did die for them. He initiated because the Word was God. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't separate God and His Word. You don't separate your Word, but that you speak from you. That's just what every promise has said. Keep it. Fulfill it. It's you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, in those days, we know what God did the woman to Adam, but thereafter, take for example that Abraham took Sarai to wife. Okay, did he have a mediator between the two? Would you take this man to be a lawful wedded husband in health, in wealth, in sickness, and in whatever, right? And the woman said, yes, I do. Then to the woman said, do you take this man as your lawful wedded husband? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so you have a mediator between now a joint man and wife. The covenant. You understand? But God is the one who steps in. He didn't send somebody else to die on your behalf. He didn't send a prophet to die for you and me. No one can do that. His son is only the begotten son. His very monogenesis, his very self, the Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what God initiated. Now, a mediator is a mediator of one. Not of one. But two. That means two parties. But God is one. He initiated, he stepped right in between. And he put Moses there. But what is the law? Though it was given to Moses, the mediator, the law, we call Moses the law, what, the lawgiver? Some people call Moses the lawgiver. He gave the law to Israel, right? But it was God who gave the law to Israel. Alright, let's continue verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Now God gave the promise, now God gave the law. What is that? Huh? Is it against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. Yeah, of course. That's not what the law would. They came 403 years after faith was given to Moses, or grace was given that. Could do nothing. It didn't bring anybody to righteousness. Because nobody could fulfill that law. You were talking about the law of Moses. Huh. Alright, see. But the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. You know, it's very interesting right here. The scripture concluded all under sin. Well, the Bible said the scripture, you know, back then at that time of Moses was already bringing it up, but what Paul was writing back then, what Moses was writing back then, going back to Genesis, you know, but God said, the day that you eat of this fruit, thou shalt surely die. Right? And since then, men are dead. So, the promise, the scripture concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. Think about it, huh? The promise that was given to Moses is concerning the seed. Remember? Remember, concerning the seed. Might be given to them that believe, but before faith came, we were kept. Who are we? Who is this we here? I want you to look at it very carefully here. Who is we here? But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto faith, we should afterward be revealed. Who is the we here? Hey. If you say, we are the Christian, as Paul would say, we, I'll knock you on your head. The Jew. So, you know, you need to understand here, Paul was giving the account to the children of God, or the believer, or the Christian in Galatia. Paul is relating about the law, what was given to the Jew, what happened, and then coming forward to his time. Do you understand? Before faith came, what is faith again? Let me ask you. This is exposition. Astounding. So, before faith came, what is faith? What faith involved? Christ. Right? Before faith came, what was given to Abraham? Come on. The promise. What was in the promise? The seed. Right? Uh-huh. And what was the seed? Christ. You see what I'm talking about here? If Christ doesn't come, there's no faith at all. Faith in Christ Jesus, not faith in a something that we do not know. Because if you don't have a revelation from God within Himself, we got nothing. If God did not reveal Himself to Abraham, we don't have anything. Do you know? That's all. Today we can see who Christ is. Because God revealed Christ to Abraham. That's why we have the faith of Abraham. So Paul is saying that before Christ came, before faith was shown to us, in our day, in my day, that Paul is talking about, we Jews, we were kept under the law. What was law given for? What was the law given? Because of transgression. So now everybody, God saying, all right, Israel, you have to do this. Remember all this festival, remember all this law, keep it. We were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which would afterward be revealed. We were shut up. We were, it's just like being in the ark. You're kept inside there, not seeing the daylight, so to say. Or we will say that, well, As Paul here said, then in verse 24. Yeah, let me just continue with that. Yeah. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, you see, that we might be justified by faith. You got to say? You understand? So the law is a schoolmaster. Or I would like to sometimes use it like a boat. The law is like a boat that carries the children of Israel down the streams of time. Got it? Until the faith came to them. Until they reached the destination of the faith cross, the gospel. The law was to teach them. What did the law actually tell them? Huh? Each time they, well, remember the law, they memorize the law, and they go to the temple, and then they start all over again. Every year, the Day of Atonement, the lamb was sacrificed, they are so happy their sins were forgiven, but the following day they start all over again. So the law keeps reminding them of their sin, that they are sinners. And the law is telling them, but they don't see it. They don't really see it. Their eyes were so close, they saw the law, but their eyes were not seeing it. They are looking at it, but they were not seeing it, so to speak. Remember, when you look at the word, it's okay for you to look at the word, but I want you to see what the word says. Remember, there is a difference between look and see. Don't look, but see. See, not look. And the children of Israel was just looking at the law. They were not seeing what the law was actually trying to tell them. That you are not perfect, no matter how you keep it, you are not perfect. And every time, you know, with the law, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. What was the prophet telling them? The law was telling them that they are sinners, and the prophet was telling them that there is a way up there, that there is coming someone that will do it. And take your place. Someone that will be your Messiah. But they failed to see it. Huh? And even when the prophet of prophets came, they kill him. They crucify him. They were so devout, so zealously devoted to their faith. Israel has been for thousands of years holding on to their faith. Well, it's okay now because they were so blinded to it. Because of that, God turned to us. God blinded them temporarily. He says, God have a purpose. And so everything that God do, He initiated. And He did it. There's always a reason why He did. What He did. That we, Gentiles, have a part in the kingdom of God. And we don't even know a thing. The Jews don't even know a thing about what was promised to Abraham. They have the Torah. They have what was written in the book of Genesis. They knew what was promised to Abraham. But did they see it? The mystery was all hidden there. Right? Look at the stars and now count them even came in Abraham. Count the sand of the seashore. There were two parts there. One earthly and one heavenly. They didn't even see. There's only one seed, Abraham. One seed in thy seed. Not seeds as a many, but as a one. That's what make them know, but they don't. They say, oh, we are Israel, look at us, we are God's people. You see, if God didn't open up this revelation to us, we don't even know. Abraham didn't quite see what was shown to him with all these seeds. Yeah, later on, perhaps he realized. Having Ishmael was the wrong thing. Then you have Isaac. But yet it was not Isaac. Until I believe that Abraham realized when God touched him for the final time. take thy son, the only son, and sacrifice him to me. Whoa! That opens up his eyes, I believe. When God that spoke to him, I believe that Abraham sat down and meditated and looked closer and see what was God's intention. Give me thy son, the only son. And so they went up, and he was faithful to do what it, and Isaac was faithful. He is in his 20. He has his 20 years old. Mind you, you read in the paper a couple of days ago, a 24-year-old son beat up his father with a walking stick. Did you read that in the paper? So if he's 20-year-old, Abraham, his father took him up there and he said, when Isaac said, where is the sacrifice? Now the Bible is, what do you read? You don't, it's condensed, you don't read every detail there. Huh? The Lord will provide. My son, the Lord will provide. And as you make everything ready, and he told the son, you are it. Isaac did not struggle and fight with the father. And I believe between the relationship between the father and the son was so close. As Abraham walked with God, so did Isaac walk with his father Abraham and understand what was told to him by Abraham the father, how God appeared to him. Yes, God will provide. And I believe that was the revelation. I believe that Abraham saw what was God's intention. That thy seed, thy only seed, there's nothing to do with Isaac. Thy seed, thy only seed, is out there. Ahead. Alright. So we were shut up, as Paul said, we were shut up under the law. Kept under the law. Shut up unto faith. Until afterward that it will be revealed. See, think about it, huh? So, all the time the epistle that was given to the church in the beginning, because of their transgression, and of course in the time of the early church, first church, second church, they're all looking for the Messiah. I mean, they were looking for the coming of Christ, right? Is it not? Is it not? Every church, every one of them were looking for the coming of Christ. And there were some that were predicting. In the 19th century, they were predicting that Christ would come some years. And even Brother Branham, let me call Brother Branham there, huh? Remember, he said about seven visions that he had? And after about seven visions, he says, based on this seven vision, I predict. I do not prophesy, I predict. But some foolish people out there, they say, no, prediction means the same as thus said the Lord, a prophecy. And I think that you people out there are so foolish. Problem said by 1977, based upon the sun vision, I believe by 1977, it will be over. He was looking for the coming of the Lord too, right? Right? Yes. And yet he knew sometime later that he's going to die. That he will not live up to 56 or beyond. And he died at the age of 56. God took him home. Why? As a messenger, with all that he preached and pointed people back to the word, God allowed him to speak certain words that people just find it very confusing. And they call him all sorts of things. And some call him God. As you all would know, you have seen some pictures in Africa, especially in Congo, DRC, that they worship him as Elohim. They worship him as the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ, William Marion Branham. Okay, that's extreme. What about others? Well, you have the Baruti out there who claimed that after Brother Abraham, he is the one that comes in Brother Abraham's place. There's one in South Africa, there's one out there in the Ivory Coast. False Christ. Correct. Even some dare to call him themselves Elohim. Oh, may God have mercy. You see, all this that which we have received, even today with the message, people are shut up. Many of them are just shut up because their eyes are not seeing. They are just looking at what Brother Abraham said, not seeing the message, not seeing the truth. When Jesus came, how many Jews saw who Jesus was? How many? Yeah, when he preached to 2,000, 4,000, right? Thousands. How many of them saw who he was? Recognized him as the Messiah? Or they just recognize him as the miracle man who turned water into wine, multiplied the bread and the fishes, and the man who walks on the water. What do they see in this man? Alright, wherefore the law, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So Paul is saying, you see, the law was our schoolmaster. We are the Jew, you see. But just bring until Christ come. And afterward that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. So Paul trying to tell this Galatian, this Gentile, do you understand? When the faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. Hey, Branhamites out there, if you are watching, if you are ever watching the video, the prophet said, you know who I meant? Brother Branham. Come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her for what happened then. Behold, the bridegroom come up. Come out to meet him. Come out to meet who? The bridegroom. Not the messenger. Right. So, as the law was a pointer to faith, the law that said, thou shalt not steal, you steal. The law that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, you commit adultery. The law tells you that you are sinning. And you can never save yourself. And the law was in one way pointing. God was the initiator. He gave the law because of transgression to show to the Jew, you cannot make it. But you're going to do it until faith comes. So once you are faith, you don't need the law anymore. You leave it outside. Once you're the message of the end time, you don't need it anymore. Oh, Brother God, how can you say that? You false apostle. Did not Brother Abraham say, stay with the tape? You know what I mean by Brother Abraham saying, stay with the tape? It's just like I was saying, stay with the Bible. What does it mean? Does it mean every written word here, stay with it? That means we just quote the Bible every day, every Sunday here, we just read one chapter and we go home. Is that what it means? But faith come by hearing the word of God. But what say the scripture? What do we look at? We need to see. Then faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Brother Bam point us back to this word. Can I ask, come back to this word?
That's what it is.
The other day I got a letter. And I open up the letter, it says, well, you have $300 credited into your bank. Yeah, I mean, you know, workfare, whatever that is, I can't remember. Huh? And $200, I mean, yeah, into your CPF. Oh, that's very good. So what do I do with this letter? It's a messenger. It's a message. Somebody who is a messenger who's up there in the office somewhere in the government and send it to me. Right, and I read the message. So what do I do with it? Oh, frame it up on the wall? Frame it on the wall, okay, with me in my wallet. Every day I look at it, oh, I got $300 in this bank account, $200 in SPF. Do I do that? That's madness. Do you understand? You see, what God has told me, here it is, my bank account. What I have to do is look at my bank account, what I have. Right, God says, I have given you the blessing according to certain things. It's in there. It's a message. So I look into it, I see it, that's it, I got it. Right. Let's continue. For you are all children. Now Paul turns to these children of Israel. I mean, to the Galatians now. So you all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus now. Huh? We Jew, we were hit and sharp unto faith. And the Lord was our schoolmaster and he bring us to Christ. You understand? Like it says there in verse 24. Wherefore the Lord our schoolmaster bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. And after faith is come, we're no longer under schoolmaster. We are no longer under the law. For now the same you, Galatians. But you are all. You don't have the law. You children of you Gentiles, you don't have the law before, right? We are not under the law. So we are under law. The law means nothing to us. So how are we under the law? The Lord wasn't our schoolmaster. We were never under the law because we are not Jews. But Paul said, you are all children of God by what? By faith. By the same faith. It will reveal to the Jew that believe, that they might believe. And once they saw it, the law is, the schoolmaster is no longer needed. They are no longer under the law. For as many of you, you Gentiles, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You see that? Yeah. We all put on Christ, we have Christ. I like that. There is not a Jew, nor Greek. There is neither born, nor free. There is neither male, nor female. For we are all one in Jesus Christ. Now, don't be some crazy people who don't know how to read the Bible. Paul is saying that there is no male, no female. So I'm a girl, so I'm not a girl. I'm a boy, I'm not a boy. What is it? It is not that. You know, he says that whether, you know, in God's far the gospel is concerned. Whether you're man or woman, Gentile or not, or Jew, whatever races you are, rich or poor, right? We are all the same in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? We are all one. Because we belong to the seed. For if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heir according to the promise. Where heir is according to the promise. Chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, defer nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now who is he speaking of now, right here? Again we are looking back. The Paul is talking about still concerning what was promised to Abraham. And what was promised to Abraham. Okay. And so what the seed of Abraham that comes down. Those nations of Israel. They're heirs. Okay. Alright. So as long as to say that even us. As even though we are, a child. Let me say that whatever age you are, whether you are young or old, when you come to Christ, when we come to Christ, we are heir, right? But we have not yet get the adoption. You know, a rich person have children, a son, he's heir to the throne, or heir to the inheritance of whatever belongs to his father. But he need to be tutored. You understand, huh? He need to be tutored. Okay, so that's a point I say, defers nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, though he owns everything that belongs to his father. But yet, he's no different from the servant in the house. Huh? Because he need to learn. He has not come to the stage of where he owns the whole thing yet, though he is entitled to that. But he's under tutor, but he's under tutors, verse 2, and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Until the time appointed of the Father. So it takes time. And so we need to grow in grace. We need to grow. Some Christians don't want to grow. The Paul says, let us go unto perfection. But some people say, well, it's okay, I'm a Christian. You know, there are a lot of Christians like that. They are just satisfied being a Christian. Not being a witness. Not doing what needs to be done as a Christian to live and breathe Christian. Breathe Christ, so to speak. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Still, we Gentiles, we Jews, all of us, we were under all these influences of the world. Huh? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent for His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So now here, there's a separation here. To redeem them that were under the law. Okay? That we might receive the adoption of son. So what is Paul here talking now? Redeem under the law. Okay, that's a Jew. That we might receive the adoption of son. Verse 6. And because you, now here he is including the Gentiles. The Gentiles, we were not under the law of Moses. But what were we under? What kind of laws are we under? I'm seeing what the wrong word. What kind of law were we under? Let's go to the book of Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 2 verse 6 to 16. The Jews were under the law of Moses. So what law? What laws are we under? Okay, we Gentiles under. I mean, Romans 2, 6 to 16. God Himself will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey our unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every sort of man that do evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Of the Jews first, because they have the law of Moses. But let's read verse 10. But glory, honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first and also to the Gentile. But for there is no respecter of person with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. But as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law of Moses, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. We show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, saith the Paul. So, the Gentile, what kind of law do you have? The Gentile have the law of nature. By nature, this law out there, I will tell you. Huh? The conscience within you, the heart and the nature. Nature will tell you what is right and what is wrong. The conscience that is there. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Okay, let's go back to Israel. I mean, not Israel. Go back to Galatians. All right. verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of God, and you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. So the word here, verse 7, the word son. The word servant. Therefore you are no more servant. The word servant, what does it mean? It means slaves. You are no more a slave. Right? To conscience. Because now you are a Christian, you are a son of God. And if you are a son of God, you are an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Paul makes us to know that this false brethren have such an influence. And by these epistles, what Paul had written, you know, God had lost something to happen back then, so that this epistle will help us to understand. Do you understand that? Huh? It carries us on and on to see that history will repeat itself. And what we see happen to Israel is happening to the Gentile. What happened to the people of God in the Israel under the law happened to us, Gentile, even in the church. Their false brother goes out and they will deceive you and they warn you to be in bondage to their opinion, to their tradition, to what they think is correct. You see? And what Paul said is very true. These false brethren want you to follow them. They want you to follow them. You see? And to take you away from the faith. I have seen here in Singapore how some of these out there are doing that. To those who have been with me since back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000. They're continuing doing that. And I want you, brethren, out here. If you have the understanding, the revelation, if you're a child of God, if you have the revelation of Moses, of Abraham, what God has revealed to him from the very beginning, the promise, then hold to it. And Paul said, be very careful. Because this false brother comes in and try to put you on under something that is not the word of God. Deceiving you. Moving you away, causing you to doubt. And you know how many people in the end time message are filled with doubt? All these many years, there are many that are still filled with doubt. Is this really true? I have seen websites on the internet. A good website. They are defending William Branham. Defending him because what all these Branham have said. And all those out there, anti-Brennan, have accused him out. But what happened to that website? It is no more. It's gone. And the many ministers who have tried to influence me, because they think that they know what they don't know. What I did today. And I said this many, many times. If your foundation is not in this world, what say the scripture? When Jesus came, the Pharisees, the religious leaders challenged him. Right? And he turned around and he always put a question, most of the time a question to their question. Huh? And many times he said, what say the scripture? Did not the scripture say? Right? And did not Jesus Christ tell the devil when he came and tempted him during those 40 days of his fasting? Did not Jesus Christ say, it is written? What is written? The scripture. So what did the scripture say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right? Come on, eat this, turn this bread, and turn this stone into bread. It is written, what say the scripture? Man shall not live by bread alone. Do you understand? If Jesus calls our Lord, point back to this word. Let us come back. If the prophet, Brother Abraham, said, come back to this word, let us come back. Right here. People can say about denominational creeds, denominational dogma, and a lot of Brahma are just doing the same. They're putting the tips of Brahma, the books of Brahma, and that's their dogma. They're not using this. Oh yeah, we do! We cut the scripture on Sunday, and then press play and obey. And that's what they would do. May God have mercy. And I want to therefore be zealous and be devoted to this. Amen. Huh? If you are zealous in your devotion, let it be your zealous devotion to the Word of God, to God who is the Word. He manifests himself in this, and not to what I say as a man. Not what Brother Abraham say as a man. It means nothing. I don't think it means what say the scripture. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. For this word. Continue, Lord, to walk with us and break it down further. And feed us, O Lord, in this journey. Lord, it just seemed to be that Paul said it in his day. The time is near. It's at hand. Everything is coming to a close, and we can say the same thing today. But Lord, we know no man knows the hours and the time of your coming. We only know the seasons. And looking at the seasons, O Lord, in this world of trouble, it seems that, Lord, we are even nearer. Nearer, Lord, to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, blessed. Bless your word, bless your people who holds your word in their hearts. And may, Lord, you guide us in our walk with you each day. For this, Father, I pray in Jesus' name.